This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. Happy Friday to everybody. We've got a very abbreviated show today. So we will turn you over to Mariner Baseball, the pregame show coming up at 4 o'clock. So make sure you stay tuned for that. So we're going to squeeze a whole bunch into a very short amount of time. John Morosi will join us today at 3 o'clock. We will have Mean Text coming up at 3:45, so you guys can get started at 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Wyman is out once again today, and we've got Ryan Roland-Smith with us on remote from parts unknown. Hello, Ryan.
What is up?
What's going on? You don't want to hang out with me, man? What happened to us?
Well, I did text you. I did text you apologizing, didn't I?
Yeah, you'd already. What's funny is you'd already told me this the other day at the stadium. I don't think you remember.
I remember. I did it in passing.
Probably not. Maybe. I don't know. I just got a very panicked look from Matt.
So. Don't say it again. Don't say it again.
But no, so it was in passing, but and I felt bad because you guys were getting in. I had to rush out because Lennox had his first little T-ball training. I was trying to get out and to go see it. And you're like, hey, man, I'll see you on Friday. And usually I'm pretty fired up to get in and join you guys. And I was like, oh, no, I'm doing it from home. You know. And so I just felt bad. I felt bad. So I wanted to text today. I apologize. I don't usually do it, but I was busy this morning, that is for sure. So apologize, felt bad, but hey, here I am remotely doing it.
Yeah, we appreciate you, but that'll just give more opportunity for listeners to send in mean texts about you. So
yeah, exactly.
You know, Ryan's big time. He doesn't want to hang out with the common unwashed. He's in his palace out there. He wants the comforts of his kingdom. So, you know, we're here. And then he's there. That's how this is going to go.
Basically, it's a two-hour show. So I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
I'm not
driving to Seattle. Are you joking?
You guys out of your mind?
No, I'm kidding. No, I wish I was there. You know, it's a big day. We have a couple things. Number one, Mariners got to get back on track, man. This is a big road trip. I know it sounds crazy, early April. And the other thing, real quick, I don't want to plug this or whatever, but I got a show coming out today, debuts this afternoon on Root Sports, my 30-minute. The top step is turned into, I know you guys made fun of it last year, the podcast. Well, it's transcended to a TV show.
That was Adam Ray that made fun of it.
That's right, he did too. He did. Who, by the way, he's coming on the show in a couple of weeks. Yeah, so he might get blocked. I might just.
Yeah, he's going to just show up and do imitations of you the whole time on there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should, you know, this is a TV show now. I don't know if I can have that, those shenanigans. But
who's your first guest?
Felix Hernandez. So the first segment, I just talk about the beginning of the season. Then I've got Felix. That's we sat on top of the dugout at a Mariners event a couple of weeks ago, so it was really good. So I have that for the show. And then Eric O'Flaherty and Brandon Morrow, a couple of former Mariners. They're going to be joining me a bunch throughout the show. They came on the last segment. It was funny, man. Some funny, funny stories about back in the day. So
nice.
It was good.
So today at 4 p.m. on Root Sports.
Yeah, it's good. Basically every Friday. It's going to be a weekly Mariners show.
Every Friday at 4.
Well, not at 4. It depends on the game time. It'll be right before the Mariners game.
So, but it'll always be Fridays.
It'll be Fridays, yeah. And you can catch it. And if you don't have Root Sports, you can catch it on YouTube as well. It's free on YouTube as well. So
there you go. How's that for a plug? Huh?
How about that? There we go. Done. I got it out of the way. I had to sneak it in there somewhere.
We just had to do a whole commercial. We'll send you the bill. No, tune in today at 4 o'clock. That should be very cool. And cool that you're getting that opportunity. And I look forward to Adam Ray's appearance on there and seeing if he just takes over the entire show. Meanwhile, you brought up the Mariners. They're on the road, and this feels like a really good time for the road trip, doesn't it, Ryan? It feels like, you know, it's seven. I want to put the season into perspective because you know how it goes. Fans are really mad. There's already fans going, told you, they're going to stink. Terrible team. That's it. And I'm like, man, you got to pace yourself, dude. It's 155 more of these to go. So there's a lot. I get the disappointment. I'm with everybody. I was sitting there watching that last game going, what in the hell is this? I totally understand it, but you're seven games in. Let's dial it back just a little. Let's see where it goes. And I'm thinking, and you could speak to this better than anybody, just the idea of, all right, You get the day off, a breather to kind of reflect. You're traveling with your guys. There's a little bonding that could happen. We talked to Scott Service yesterday. He talked about the, you know, a bunch of those guys going out to dinner last night. And I'm sure, listen, we were in that clubhouse after that last game. It was a morgue. It was quiet. Yeah. We were whispering in there. They were very upset. So as upset as fans get, don't get it twisted. The players take this seriously, and they are more upset. But is this a good as far as the timing of this road trip? It feels good. Am I wrong on that?
If you have the right personnel in that clubhouse, if you have the right leadership and the right voices, it's a great time to hit the road. On the flip side of that, if you have that one or two, it could be a new guy. And I'm saying this in general.
Yeah.
Any year, any team. Yeah, that one or two guys that want to sit there and complain or point fingers or have that kind of character trait in a negative way, it can be a bad time to go on the road. And on top of that too, the fact that the way that last game went, regardless if you want to point fingers at defense, point fingers at George Kirby, offense, whatever it may be, man, what a tough game to finish the opening homestand. If that game was on Friday and you guys were hitting the road on Monday, fair enough. But that's a hard one to get on a bus, and that's where the character sets in. So I agree with Scott Service in regards to getting on the road, because you learn a ton about your team when you hit the road for the first time, second time. When you're in that visiting outfield during batting practice and you start having those conversations, you have dinner with guys you've never had dinner with before.
Yeah.
And you start to learn their character. So this is a big moment because, man, and I can't wait to talk to John Morosi about this. You said 3:00, right? He's joining us 3:00. Just from a national zoomed out perspective, and I go back to last year, and Bob, you know this, I am a little worried. I'm not going to lie, because April and May, these are the months. These teams get better as they get moving, as guys come back, especially in the West, AL West. They have to bank wins in early April. Mm-hmm. It's so important.
Yeah, I totally agree with all that, and I don't blame. Like I said, I don't blame any fan that's upset, that's mad, that was even out there booing. I mean, that especially that last game, that was dreadful. I mean, Scott said it. The players say. I mean, there's no painting it as something positive. It was dreadful. Every part of it, the pitching was terrible. It was an awful start by Kirby. They couldn't hit, and the defense was atrocious. I mean, so outside of that, it was magical. But it's just, you know, I'm trying to keep. You know, just reminding people at times, all right, I get it, but there's so much left in front of you. This is not the end product we're looking at. If they're playing like this and it's, you know, game 90 or something, then we got a problem. This is game 7, you know.
Yeah, but you know what too, Bob, speaking of this, and you mentioned Scott Service, he addressed this on that, I think it was, Saturday night or one of those games, where they weren't hitting, and they came back, and Felix had his first Julio Rodriguez had his first walk-off hit.
Yeah,
he even addressed, even then you could hear a little bit of that urgency in his voice. I mean, that's a few days back, and he was like, "Hey, look, the offense, we're gonna fix some things here." And I was like, "Whoa, man, dude! Like you guys, there's that urgency all of a sudden. They can feel it, man. They can really feel. Even the new guys can feel the burn of what was supposed to be corrected for this season from last year.
Yeah.
So they're really feeling it. So again, I'm with you. Look, I know it's super early, but you just. And again, you're going to learn a lot about this team after these first couple road trips. Not that we get to sit in and mic up their conversations on a bus on the way to the airport, whatever. But, man, if you have just takes one or two veteran players to say certain things because they're angry at themselves and they want to take it out on everyone else or whatever it may be. On the flip side, if you got good characters in there, you'd be okay.
Yeah, we had a chance to catch up with Scott yesterday. Talked to him mostly about an event that he's doing with his wife that's very cool, happening on the 11th of April, supporting an animal charity that she's awesome. A part of that she's got going there. And so, but we did talk a bit about what's going on. He talked about the road trip and sort of the benefit of it happening right now.
I definitely think so. And he even felt it last night on the airplane. Guys, I don't think people realize how much turnover we've had in our roster. And it's something I talked about early in spring and haven't mentioned much lately. You know, our opening day roster, 26 players, last year in 2023, only 8 of those guys are back. And there are core players and you know, some younger guys. You know, we kept all our pitching staff together, but we've had quite a bit of turnover. And, you know, I expected us to maybe come out of the chute a little bit quicker on that first homestand. It didn't happen. I mentioned in the postgame the other day, it is such a long journey.
What about that? Are we not giving that enough credit or enough attention, Ryan? The amount of turnover that. All right, is that reasonable to expect? Okay, now you got a new an offensive coordinator there, and somebody who's going to come with a different philosophy. You got basically a new clubhouse outside of those eight players. Is that something we're not giving enough credence to?
Yeah, I guess when he puts it like that, the fact that obviously he doesn't stick around the whole season because there's more players that come back from injury or whatever it may be, made up the team last year who came up later or whatever. But from an opening day standpoint, the fact is you got eight players. That's a ton of turnover. I mean, that's basically rebuilding any kind of like philosophy, any kind of vibe in a clubhouse and directive that teams build. I know the Tampa Bay Rays are massive on that. Curtis Mead, Australian kid, playing second base for them every single day now. He's just talking about, man, like the same philosophy, same vibe in the clubhouse has existed for X amount of years. And that's with a team that has to pull something out of nothing because they're not going to spend any money. And all of a sudden, when you hear Scott Service talk about, hey, look, we've got eight guys returning, that you hope that those eight players, or call it eight plus guys who came up a little bit later or whatever, that they can carry over, because I feel like they had a really good thing happening in regards to clubhouse chemistry. And I use that word a lot. It's very hard to quantify. It's unless you've played or really followed a team a ton, what that really means. But, man, it takes some effort. And I think, look, last year, the fact that they got off to the start they did and they were able to turn around and literally miss the playoffs by a game, that's telling you there's a good bit of chemistry and good communication happening. But, whoa, man, when you have a whole new stack of dudes in there, new veterans, you just hope that their character is big, because it is a huge – it's a massive deal. It's a brand new team.
Yeah, well, let me give you one more new player who's going to be part of this road trip. That'd be Samad Taylor, who was we saw him in spring training. He's got a lot of speed, little guy. Kind of curious to see him, but he was recalled from AAA Tacoma because Ty France has been placed on the paternity list. His wife is expecting at any moment. So it's congrats to him. That's great news.
Yeah.
But bad news in the sense that he's their hottest hitter. He's got a six-game hitting streak. He's got the best average on the team. He's, which is right. Good news, because there are a lot of people that bailed on Ty after last season, how down it was for him. And he's come out of the gates pretty hot, which is good to see. But now he's on the placed on the paternity list. So Samad Taylor has been recalled from AAA Tacoma.
Yeah, I think, Ty, he's smashing the ball at the moment, man. He's hitting outs hard. He really is, which is good to see. I think that, I never had to do it, but you have to go away and enjoy that just couple days with your wife and say, oh my God, my whole life is completely turned upside down now. I have a kid.
Yeah.
And then coming back. So, I think it's not a bad thing. All of a sudden, hopefully, now he's a dad, he might chill out a little bit. But man, you're right. I mean, look, it's only a couple days. How many days are they allowed to have? What, three, right? It's only like three or something they're allowed to have off for paternity.
I have no idea.
I think it's three. It's not many at all.
Really? Is it only three?
Yeah, maybe five. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. You can tweet at me or whatever. And
I don't know it off the top of my head either.
Yeah, so. Out of all the guys, Ryan, who have been MLB players and have gone on the paternity list, I think you might be the expert here.
I'm sitting there. I'm scrambling trying to figure out what it is. But it is very short. What I'm saying is, a couple things. I don't think he's going to lose everything he built up. But he looks good, man. There's some hard outs there, that's for sure.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of news in terms of the roster. So it'll be interesting to see Taylor. He is a stolen base threat. He is very quick out there. Look good in spring, but that's spring. So we'll see what that looks like. But I want to ask you this, because I was looking at the numbers. I mean, first of all, the offense is just not there. It's seven games. I feel like I need to keep qualifying it with that. But through seven games, the team is hitting 196 with a 261 on base, 289 slug, and a 550 OPS. None of those are good. But I was looking at the numbers. You faced Boston and you faced Cleveland. Boston currently has the best team ERA in all of baseball at 1.54. The Guardians are fourth at 2.44. Boston's only lost two games so far, and they were both to the Mariners. Guardians have only lost two games, and one of them was to the Mariners. So at least early, you're playing two of the best pitching teams in baseball, which does not help in offenses trying to get things going. Does that put make the what you saw in those games more palatable, or do you just throw that out the window and say, well, so what?
I kind of throw that out the window, to be honest with you.
Okay.
The reason I say that is because just going back through, some of the bullpen arms that they faced when in certain counts too, like, you know, situations where it's like, man, if you got a 2-1, I'm not going to get specifics here because we don't have enough time, but I remember writing them down, especially the weekend against the Red Sox. But you had a couple situations going back to the Red Sox series and even the Guardian series. You had a couple 2-1 counts, right? And all of a sudden, Chase, 2-2. Yeah, changes the entire at bat.
Right.
And all of a sudden it pushes. And then, as you know, like it pushes that extra arm in the bullpen. The guy to get up, it gets deeper into that bullpen. When you can start going fourth, fifth, sixth guy in someone's bullpen, that's when you can start putting up some numbers. So when you look at some of the little things there in regards to what we wanted to see this year, plate discipline, good at bats, driving up that pitch count, five or six pitches. There was even, you know, look, as good as Bieber was, man, there was times I'm like, man, you just gave him that 0-2 count. You just handed him that 1-2 count in situations. It's like, dude, you can't do that against a guy like that.
Yeah.
He's too filthy because you're a little too aggressive, trying to do a little bit too much. So regardless of who they just faced, I just look at, you know, and you're going back to the Mariners numbers. I mean, look up the top, Crawford, Julio, Polanco. I mean, you look at these guys, you're like, man, you see how
it's basically everybody but Ty France and Mitch Haniger.
Right. It's rough.
And Josh Rojas.
Yeah, and you look at, you know, when you're talking on base and you talk about some of these other factors that, look, JP was such a tough at-bat last time. You know, and righties, lefties didn't matter. Last year, he was a tough at-bat. And you look at, and I'm talking from an on base, pitches per at-bat, and that's just not there. I know it's early. I get it. Polanco is the same thing, man. Polanco was kind of brought in to be a little bit more versatile in the sense of having tougher at-bats, more experience. And obviously, Julio Rodriguez, regardless of the batting average and everything else. But I'm looking at some of these guys. I'm like, man, top of your order, got to get going. Even JP on the on Wednesday, you know, he fouled a pitch off, and there's just this frustration, like he's just pressing just a little bit, like something's off. So I think regardless of the pitching, the top of the lineup, especially, has obviously set the tone, like always, and you're just not seeing it collectively.
Yeah. Is there, before we get to take two, is there any player or pitcher that you're worried about through seven games? Again, it feels silly to ask that, but I'll go ahead and ask it anyway. Is there anybody at this point in the rotation or out there as a position player that you're looking at going, man, I don't like what I'm seeing?
Pitching, we haven't got enough time on the pitching, and I'm not saying that in a bad way in regards to saying that, you know, it's a bad thing, but but on the hitting side, I'm going to stay on Jorge Polanco. I think that, look, and again, am I worried about him? No. I think he'd be okay. He'll adjust himself, but we need a guy like that to be at least his regular mediocre Polanco numbers, and service to the team now. And I just think whether he's trying to do too much or there's something going on with his swing, trying to make a big impression or something else, you know, trying to find a place to live in this first week. I don't know what it is, but, with him, it's just like, you know, little things I noticed, like his swing and misses, like on every pitch is up in like the 40, close to 50%, 46% breaking ball, 44% fastball. That was, you know, 19% on a fastball last year. It's doubled. That's a little concerning to me. So watching him again, you want those guys cracking April, May, and you don't want a situation, oh yeah, Polanco's starting to come out of it mid-May. It's like, oh man, we're six games back.
Yeah.
You know, so he's one guy I would point at for sure.
All right. We'll certainly talk more about this again. John Morosi will join us at 3:00. But right now, let's take two.
Ryan, you were correct. No more than three games for the MLB paternity list.
I knew it. Yeah, that was crazy.
Wow, that seems short.
Impressed. Short, like, man. It's like
get there. You got to fly there. Go hold the baby. Oh, this is great. See you later.
Yeah, sweetheart. You got the diaper sorted? Sweet. I'll see you.
So Ty France is going to be traveling back and forth. But yeah, because of that, Mariners have recalled the outfielder Samad Taylor. Now, he's not in the lineup today. Lineup is out. Luke Raley is playing first, and he's batting seventh.
Yeah, did you get – I know you weren't out there that long, Ryan, but Samad Taylor was just interesting to me. I have no idea what he'll do at the big league level, but just watching him out there in spring, he was intriguing to me because, A, like Bliss, he's a very small guy, but he's really quick. He's a problem on the base. So if he's a guy that is up here for any length of time, I'm going to be very interested to see what he looks like on the base paths because he appears to have some speed, and he showed a little pop even for a guy that was his size.
Yeah, I think, and again, I don't know enough about him to start critiquing, But I think that a guy like that, again, the Mariners, especially the Mariners and other teams, and you're going to roll your eyes if you're on the text line, but they value guys who can drive a ball. So if he can prove that he can drive it just a little bit and you have that speed and you can play some defense and Perry Hill gives you the thumbs up, he might stick around a little bit longer. Who knows? He might push someone out of a spot. That's for sure.
Well, the team that the Mariners play after this Brewers series, the Blue Jays, they are now 4-2 on the season, or 4-4 on the season after shutting out the Yankees today, dropped the Yankees to 6-2, 3-0 win on the Yankees home opener. And then the Tigers beat the A's today. They have the best record in the American League. They're 6-1.
this is that time of year, Ryan, where you see all the random things that go on, and you know this guy's hitting 400, and this team's undefeated, and then you know by the middle of the season everything settles into where it's expected to be. But you know, good on teams like the Tigers who are 6-1, and the Pirates are 6-1. You know, is that going to be how it sits the rest of the season? I'm guessing probably not.
No. You know, teams get off to good starts and whatever else. I think that if you're a team, call it the Tigers, call it the Mariners, you just don't want to be in a situation where you will get exposed and that'll start to level out. That win-loss record will start to level out. When you are playing tight games and you're like, man, we need to bank all these wins. And then you know, the best three guys in your bullpen are just getting absolutely abused. We saw that a little bit with the Mariners early on. I mean, Salcedo pitched like 3 or 4 days already straight out of the gate.
Yeah.
And they were gassed. And what happens is that bullpen starts to wear it a little thin. That one starting pitcher kind of gets figured out a little bit, and then it starts to level off. But you know what? Bank the wins while you can. Hopefully, hey, look, I'm all for the Detroit Tigers killing it this year in that Central.
By the way, the Marlins are the only winless team in baseball right now.
Still.
They're 0-8.
Hey, has Rendon got a hit yet with the Angels? The best is the spray chart. People are like, oh, check out Rendon's spray chart this year. It's just nothing. There's nothing on like the little graphic. It's so good.
Just an empty sheet.
No, still hitless. He hasn't played since Tuesday. So yeah, that 0-19 still stuck.
Good for him. Listen, it's got to be tough for him when you love the game the way that he does. This has got to be really, really painful because he invests so much into it. It's his passion. I'm sorry. I just openly root against him now. He just, Rendon. But yeah, the Marlins will, I assume they'll win at some point. They'll be able to pull off a win.
Yeah.
All right. Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. Coming up, Ryan has a few thoughts on the A's situation and the uniform mess around baseball. Both of these things can be considered a mess. We're going to try to clean that up. Coming up, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Text line is there for you. We got Mean Text coming up today. It is a short show, but at 3:45, we will do Mean Text. So get those in. We do have a lot of Mean Text, but I would say 99% are directed at the Mariners. So they're not going to hear those. They're not going to read them. So you can send them. Take shots at me. You can take shots at Ryan, of course. Lefko, of course. And, of course, Matt. He always loves when you take shots at him. Take shots at Wyman. He's not here to dispute anything you've got to say about him. Whatever you want.
Ryan, are you logged in? Oh, sorry. Yeah, read that number.
To the text line?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, you can't stand it every time. I'm like, hey, can you send me that again?
Okay.
Like,
I've sent you that. Well, no, that's what I figured. Okay, sorry about it.
I was going to avoid it. Hey, babe, if you want to share it, please.
Read the number. I'll send Ryan the actual login so you can see all these texts about him.
Yeah, the text number, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. So, yeah, text in your mean text. Otherwise, Lefko's going to have to jump on and call everybody dumb, and nobody wins.
Ryan, I need you to log on and look because we need some clarification. We don't know if someone's messing with us or if it's an actual thing.
Yeah,
an Australian thing. So
I feel like somebody's trying to get us to throw out an Australian curse word or something like that. So
okay.
Check that out. In the meantime, let's talk about this.
Sorry, real quick. I've got the login details, so we're good. We're moving here.
Okay. Hey, this thing from the A's is just absurd to me, Ryan. They have elected to play in West Sacramento in a minor league stadium. They did have a proposal from the city of Oakland to remain in the Coliseum for the next 3 years, sign a 5-year extension. They could leave after 3. There was an out there, but they said, you know, that's going to involve us paying money. So, no, we're not going to do that. And they are going to go and play in the West Sacramento area. And John Fisher. John Fisher, who may be one of the worst owners that we've seen in any professional sports league in quite some time, had this to say about it.
I just want to say how excited I am to be here in West Sacramento in Sutter Health Park, celebrating a momentous day for this community and a momentous day for our 123-year-old franchise. We're excited to be here for the next 3 years, playing in this beautiful ballpark, but also being able to watch some of the greatest players in baseball, whether they be athletics players or Aaron Judge and others, launch home runs out of this very intimate, the most intimate ballpark in all of Major League Baseball for the next 3 years.
Yeah, he's super happy. Hey, come watch the superstars of baseball launch home runs against our team, the A's. They're going to be giving up gopher balls left and right, so make sure you get a nice spot on the berm. What he is beyond full of it. I wish there was a way to force him to sell. He's taken every bit of the revenue sharing he gets and stuffed it into his fat pockets because he does not put it into his product. And this guy is beyond a bad owner. I just feel so bad for the fans in Oakland.
It's so bad. I mean, just even that appearance he made. Like, first of all, he's barely said a word.
Yes.
Like, publicly in front of people, where you can actually get a iPhone up and record it or you know, whatever it may be. And then he kicks it off with, first of all, he says, oh, yeah, any of the athletics players, I don't know any of them. But what about Aaron Judge? Like, he actually specified a certain player on another team.
Yeah.
He just said our athletics players. Like, come on, dude. So bad. Like, at least, like, you know, one of their young players, like, hey, man, the fact we're going to see so-and-so at the start of his career, yada, yada. It's just so bad. And it sounds like he just rocked up, drove down from Oakland, wherever he lives, and just pulled up and said, okay, where do you want me to stand and talk? Just here? This is the stadium? Sweet. Thanks, guy. It's just so bizarre. And the other thing on top of that, too, like, they go off to Vegas, brand new stadium, all the bells and whistles and new everything. How are you going to, like, flick the switch and be like, oh, yeah, this is our owner. This is our guy, you know, steering the ship. It's just, it's so bad. This is one thing that I will just infuriates me. The fact that you have a major league, this is like Major League Baseball, especially come from where I come from, man. Like, you come to the U.S., I've got these kids coming over next week, these 15, 16 year olds, like about 10 Aussie kids. And I want them to experience, this is what's at stake, fellas. This is what you can get to. Check it out. Look at T-Mobile Park. Look at this locker room. Look at this dugout. Look at the whole bit.
Yeah.
And then you got this poor 20-year-old who's going to make their debut in a year or two with the Oakland A's, not by his fault, and he has to get called up and go play in Sacramento. Nothing against the city. But it's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. It's ridiculous. And then you find out, you know, some of the numbers. People dive into the numbers of some, you know, articles in The Athletic talking about what some of the proposals were around Oakland. It wasn't that far out of reach. Really wasn't. Well, even to extend it the next couple of years to be in call it a major league stadium.
Yeah, I retweeted this tweet from Buster Olney, and he says in this tweet, and you can check it out if you're on Twitter, at Bob Stelton, I retweeted this last night. It appears that the difference between what Oakland offered and what the A's wanted was about $35 million or so over 3 years, uh-huh. or about the same as the Angels are paying reliever Robert Stevenson. and then he says, meanwhile, owners overseeing an industry worth many tens of billions of dollars stand by and watch their weakest franchise put on this cheap circus and do nothing. It's incomprehensible and a terrible business decision. I couldn't agree with him more. It's just, it's a joke. It is sad that this is the way it is and that the other owners kind of just sit there and go, yeah, well, all right. He's going to take all the money that comes from the big clubs paying their luxury tax, the Yankees and the Mets and the Cubs and whoever else, the Phillies. He's going to take that money and he's not going to reinvest it in the team. He's going to put it right into his bank account.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just, I wish there was a way, Ryan, they could just say, you know what? You're out. You're going to need to, you're going to go ahead and sell that team and you'll make a big profit on it. And you can go off into the sunset with your tens of millions of dollars in profit and the league will be rid of you and somebody will own this team that is actually trying to compete.
You know what? Here's the other thing too. Like, so, you know, winter meetings, I was on the same flight and, of some of the Oakland PR people. I know some of them. Some of them used to work for the Mariners. Now they work in Oakland. Just the morale. Like, just the simple things I think about. Like, the Oakland A's had to fire off a tweet. Hey, really excited to be in Sacramento. No, you're not. There's just like, this is, and then they're just going to absolutely get destroyed by fans from around the country, not just people who live close to the city.
Yeah.
Everyone. And then destroyed by everyone outside of that. The morale of your workplace or your employees or anyone who works underneath you is just rock bottom right now. And it's like, how do you even – again, it just – it drives me nuts. And the whole thing before the stadium thing, I'm like, really? You're going to go play in Sacramento?
Yeah.
Like, at least if – okay, if you are so dead certain on going to Las Vegas – come up with something where you cut the cord right away and you go down and play in that where the Aviators play. Try and figure that out. I'm sure maybe that was maybe an option. I got no idea. Or you stay in Oakland. You don't go like to another city close to you in some form of proximity in some AAA stadium. That just turns the knife even more if you're a fan. It's terrible.
Yeah, and I'm sure the visiting teams are super excited to play in that stadium. That's going to be great.
Logistically, I'm sure they're going to create some massive renovations. I get it. But logistically, as it stands right now, I've played there. I played AAA there a bunch.
Yeah.
It is, look, and I'm sure that's upgraded, but you can't upgrade that stadium enough when you're talking about all the different things that you have to add to make that viable for what the standard of Major League Baseball is.
Yeah, it's just, it's so bad. It is just such a bad look. It really is. And he just feels like, listen, there are other teams that don't spend as well, but they've developed well. And they, you know, the Orioles are a team that don't spend a ton of money, but they've drafted well. Now you look at them and what they've done, and they are starting to put money in. They've got new owners, and the A's are just, everything about them just feels wrong and broken.
And by the way, too, the AAA team is planning on playing there simultaneously.
Yeah, they got to work around their schedule.
I feel bad for Sacramento, like the city, because they're gonna have protests, they're gonna have all kinds of madness going on.
Yeah.
And then that poor AAA team, like what if you own like the AAA the River Cats? They do a great job for a AAA level, man. That place is packed. They do a really good job. They really do.
They'll have more of a draw than the A's will.
Yeah, they might. But you're coming in going, okay, now we're going to house these guys? Like, how is this going to work?
What a joke. All right. Coming up, we can't let you close out the week without hearing what's bugging Bob, what's bugging Matt, Lefko. We'll see what's bugging Ryan. We'll get into all of that. Coming up, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
What's bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's bugging Bob.
What's Bugging Bob, presented by Issaquah Pest Control. A reminder, coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll speak with John Morosi. Always a fun conversation. And another reminder, we got our guy Ryan Roland Smith in for Dave Wyman today. An abbreviated show. We'll turn you over to the Mariners pregame show at 4 o'clock as they are on the road to take on the Milwaukee Brewers. Meanwhile, this is the tradition, Ryan. We always start with Matt Nelson because he's a gold medalist and Olympic champion and often complaining about himself. But nonetheless, he's always bringing material to the table.
Hey, I get him at his world championships, too. I'm talking 10:45 p.m. after a Mariners loss on a Tuesday night for the Mariners postgame.
Yeah,
he wants to wrap it up. So I'm getting him at his absolute, his best event.
And you would be what he would be complaining about.
100%.
So many times. Matt? I mean, so many nights, him and Shannon Dreyer just talking about not even baseball anymore. Just anything that comes on their mind. Anything to keep people awake.
By the way, Matt knows this. He will probably flip the table. Sometimes, like, I'm about to wrap a point up to get on, like, to finish the segment, and then I'm like, my voice, whatever the word is for it, changes. Oh, and another thing too, Shannon. Boom. Dive right into something else, and I can just feel Matt's just like...
He's back here kicking the table, tipping things over.
So many times. I just think, oh, thank goodness, this segment's over, and then nope.
Nope,
great turn that'll give us another 10 minutes about a pitcher that died in the 80s. It's great.
But Matt, here's the problem. I'm getting Shannon going, oh, yeah, like this. Like, she's giving me the approval. I'm like, oh, Shannon's digging this.
That's the problem. They feed off each other.
He's got more words.
Echo chamber of baseball people talking to each other.
What do you got today, Matt?
Today, the thing that's bothering me is that, as you said, I'm a gold medal complainer.
Yeah, yeah.
I take the silver today.
Silver?
Because someone I'm sharing the room with has an even bigger complaint than I do.
Uh-oh.
I have the best one.
The best complaint?
Yeah, it's been a week-long complaint. Finally resolved. My war with StubHub and the goons at StubHub. So,
oh, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. So, Final Four tickets. Went to buy them Monday night. Thought, all right, this is pretty simple. I've bought tickets before. You know, it's easy to buy tickets online.
Lefko, by the way, for those who don't know, is flying out right after the show to Phoenix to watch one of his beloved teams of the 12 that he roots for, the Purdue Boilermakers, in the Final Four. He's got his Purdue jacket on today. He's representing. He's staying in a mansion out there. Like, he's like one of the social elite. He's sparing no expense on this. No expense.
Yeah, so everything was going to be great. I'll keep this kind of quick, too, because I know Ryan wants to talk about the uniforms. But I bought, so there's an all-session pass that you can buy, which is a ticket to all three games. Mm-hmm. So it's a ticket to the semifinals tomorrow, the two games, and then also to the title game. But an all-session pass means two individual tickets sent to you, because there's one ticket for Saturday, one ticket for Monday.
Right.
So I bought, okay, one ticket, an all-session pass. So I get the ticket sent to me Monday night, open the link. Huh. There's only one ticket here, and it's for the national championship game, the Monday night event, not the Saturday one, even though everything explicitly says all sessions April 6th, April 8th. Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll call StubHub in the morning. Certainly it's easy enough to fix. Someone sent the wrong thing. So I call them. This is Tuesday morning. They seem very confused by this. They're like, well, this is the link. You know, here are your tickets. I go, I know. This is not, I'm missing a ticket. Like, I need the actual Saturday day, the day I care about, because Monday is the easier day to get to, because you have two of the fan bases leaving.
Well, and your team may not be playing.
Right. And that's why, so everyone goes Saturday, because you have four teams there, two of them are going to lose. So Saturday is a tougher ticket to get to. So that's the one you need. I had to send screenshots. I had to send everything. And they kept, over the next 3 to 4 days, they kept sending me the exact same thing. Like, here's your link. Here are your tickets.
Yeah.
And I had to keep sending them the same exact screenshot. So today, I took it to the people. After calling them for the fourth straight morning, took it to Twitter, expressed my disappointment and slight frustration. Tagged StubHub support. And suspiciously enough, after 4 days of no help, within about 2 hours, I suddenly had this ticket.
Really?
So it worked.
They just sent you a new link and the ticket
they somehow did finally get in touch with the person who needed to send it to me, and I got the ticket that I was missing.
And it's in the spot it's supposed to be in?
Well, it's the ticket for Saturday. So they kept saying, no, you have the tickets. I'm like, no, this is the Monday ticket.
But,
this
but
is the
I'm
only
talking about
here.
The seat that in the building is in the spot that it's supposed to be in.
Yes. Okay. So it's the same Saturday as Monday. It's just I didn't have the Saturday ticket. And what I thought would be a simple process took 4 days to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun when people have you do the same thing over and over and over.
Here's what's great. Yeah. I talked to five different people on all these mornings, because one time they hung up on me. So that was fun. So I had to explain it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, don't you have everything in the case report? Like the screenshots? And finally one of them managed to realize they did. So
I feel your pain, man. Wasn't
the goons
ticket,
at StubHub.
But the T-Mobile thing, I went through that, explained it, had trouble tickets sent up each time, had to reinstall, delete, reinstall, all that. So I get having to tell the story over and over and having them send you through the same process. Ryan, what's got you going today?
Well, I just want to really quickly, Mike, I understand Twitter is very powerful. You can get on there, complain, boom, they seem to get things done because they don't want it to go viral.
Yeah.
But you only get a certain amount of bullets on that. I will say that, because you do not want to be Mike Lefko, who's always complaining and whining about stuff that, like, first world problems, if you know what I'm saying. Like, you don't want to be in a situation where, you know, you're like, anyway. So just be very careful of your power on Twitter, Lefko.
I know. I don't have as much power as you, but I try to see if my influence works at times. And I guess it did in this
time
case.
Time those complaints.
Yeah.
Yeah, just time them.
Just
What do you got, Ryan? Is it this the beautiful uniforms in Major League Baseball? They crushed it, right? They just, Nike, Fanatics, they did. Spectacular.
Finally, listen, guys, I don't like to rip on MLB. I think, there's a lot of things I love about MLB. The uniforms. I was just heaving at these uniforms the first week of the season. I really struggled to watch players because of the lettering on the back of the jersey. I cannot stand it. I cannot stand it. Needs to be fixed. When you put those two jerseys up next to each other, when the Mariners put those highlights up in the stadium scoreboard, on the big screen, and they show highlights from 2023.
Yeah.
And you get a glimpse of that jersey, then you quickly glance at the new one. Needs to be fixed. Nike has had an absolute, as we say in Australia, absolute shocker with this, and someone needs to be accountable. Finally, it's starting to come out. We saw some Yahoo, some articles. MLB's made a statement and said, look, Nike is trying to correct it because finally they've had enough push, and thank you, fans. Right, because I'm too scared. I'm not like Mike Lefko and go out and just rip a company on social. I just don't have it in me.
Yeah,
but enough fans did. Thank you. I'm too scared to do that. I haven't got the guts to do it. You guys, I appreciate it. They need to fix those jerseys, man. Please, quickly. I cannot stand it.
Well, they screwed up not just the lettering on the jersey, which is minuscule. They've screwed up the material, which guys are sweating through, and you see these big sweat stains. They've got mismatched grays. So teams playing in full gray uniforms, the top gray doesn't match the pants gray. They've screwed the whole thing up.
I bring teams from Australia, right? Next Gen Baseball, so I have to do the uniform ordering. And if you go through two separate companies, there's, as we all know, different shades of gray and even whites. If you mess up that shade, it looks terrible on a 14-year-old, 16-year-old kid who's trying to showcase in front of colleges, right?
Yeah.
When you have it at the major league level, you should be punished for it.
Yeah.
And I really hope they can just – by the way, they're like looking into – they're researching and running tests. You have to run tests. Go back to 2023.
Exactly.
Pull those out of the boxes. You're good.
And then, by the way, for everybody that was asking why the Mariners weren't wearing their Sunday uniforms, the cream-colored – with it, they apparently weren't ready.
Exactly.
They weren't ready in time.
It was so disappointing walking in there on Sunday.
Yeah, that's the game I was there, and I'm going, what are they wearing? Those are my favorite uniforms, the cream-colored ones, the Sunday uniforms. And, yeah, it's been a debacle. I mean, initially it's everything see-through. The pants are see-through. I mean, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. They've completely botched it. So hopefully they're going to learn a lesson, get this thing fixed, because, yeah, it's the lettering's terrible. It's too small. It's see-through. There's the sweat stains coming through these things.
The piping around the neck just looks so cheap.
They've blown it. They really messed it up. All right, coming up, we'll get his thoughts on the Mariners, maybe the uniforms, the A's, everything else going on in the world of baseball. John Morosi is going to join us next with Wyman and Bob. We got Ryan Roland Smith, and this is Seattle Sports on 710.